The Hawk is on the air at 101.5 FM.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for listening. I hope you've all had a fantastic Tuesday. Tonight, I'm speaking with Boxcar Ben, who is a folk/blues rock musician from Hamilton. He's also a member of the Hamilton Arts Council and a classic Hamilton music community member, basically. So you can find Ben on all socials and streaming services at Boxcar Ben. And hey, thanks for joining.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Anytime. I don't think I actually know your full name.
Yeah, it's Ben Allen.
Ben Allen. There we go.
Got two first names.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a pretty classic name, actually. I guess, like, to start everything off, how would you describe your sound and style?
Okay, it's sort of, I go for blues rock is my go-to, like, quick answer to that. But it's basically, it's a one-man sort of blues rock band, sort of almost. I use a busking-inspired sound to kind of come up with a fuller-sounding solo show, if that makes a lot of sense. If it's okay if I elaborate on that, I've got a suitcase that I built a kick drum and a guitar amp into, and I used that when I was busking and learning how to kind of perform in front of people, and it's now amplified now and become like a full PA system and backup amps, and it's pretty loud.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. It's really unique. I think it's cool.
Thanks.
Mm. Who are your biggest musical inspirations?
My favorite band growing up was always Soundgarden. Mm-hmm. That was sort of what I learned how to play drums on. Bands in that time period, like I'm talking like mid to late 90s probably, so most of the grunge was kind of what was popular at the time. But I've since branched off into pretty much as much music as I can get my hands onto in every genre. And I think that influences me in general, just music. I love music.
Mm-hmm. When did you first discover your love for music?
I would say I really, really started to like fall in love with making my own music in my 20s. I kind of picked up music pretty early, but I it was kind of something that it just was kind of put on me. Like I was put into lessons, and I didn't really latch onto it like passionately until I was in my 20s, I would say.
What lessons did you take?
I started on piano, and then one day they brought in some percussion instruments, and the piano teacher kind of pulled my mom aside and said he should probably be in drum lessons. So they put me in drum lessons. I got like an old drum kit from a cousin of mine, and drove my parents nuts for like 5-6 years playing drums.
I bet.
And then when all my friends were playing guitar, I just kind of switched and learned how to play guitar, and I've been carrying pretty much all those instruments since, kind of thing.
So totally drop the piano.
Yeah, like I still have a synthesizer, but it was kind of like not my favorite instrument to learn.
Yeah.
I had a very classical teacher, and she was I was not a very classical student, so.
What did you listen to at that age, and who were your sort of biggest influences when you first got into music?
Probably the drum teacher was the one that introduced me to Soundgarden, actually. Mm-hmm. I think that's probably when I started actually like listening to music. Like, I don't know, when you're younger, like I was probably like 8 or 9 years old when I was taking piano. I don't really remember being too like, I think it was like New Kids on the Block and like Fresh Prince, maybe.
For sure. Yeah. Do you think that you take anything from that these days?
From the stuff I listened to when I was a child, mm-hmm. probably not so much, I don't think. I think as you start to expand your musical horizons, you kind of like latch on to things that have a little more substance and a little more like craftsmanship to them, or something along those lines, I guess.
For sure. When did you start creating music or like playing in a band?
Probably around the same time. I was about 15 when my friends, my high school friends and I started playing together, like in my parents' basement or in their parents' basement, wherever we really could. And I kind of started to experiment with sound recording at the time. I had a 4-track mixer, and I think it was hooked up to like a stereo system with a tape recorder. Like, it was pretty old school, pretty bare bones, but since graduated to, you know, producing and mixing my own music.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you ever think of it as like more than a hobby back then?
I mean, I think like a lot of kids, I definitely dreamed about it that way.
Mm-hmm.
But it's something that is kind of like just a fantasy at that age, I believe, that most people are discouraged from, I would say.
Sure, definitely.
Yeah.
When did you start? That's okay. Yeah. When did you start pursuing music like professionally?
I think I wrapped my head around it a little better under the Boxcar Ben moniker. I was in tons and tons of bands and just kind of thought that, you know, like most guys, that it was a matter of like being discovered and that was what was going to happen, you know, like, which is kind of not how it works. And, when I started off on my own in Hamilton is when things really started to click. And I was like, okay, this is actually going direction I wanted to go in, and people are supportive, and it took me a little while to even really consider myself a professional musician, but there's a lot of steps that I've taken in that direction in the past 3 or 4 years, so it's been a really, really amazing ride in Hamilton.
Mm-hmm. What sort of bands were you in before you discovered a Boxcar Ben?
Mostly like kind of like post-hardcore, like a lot more aggressive music. I playing like really heavy guitars and probably screaming my voice out a lot harder than I should be, kind of not really trying to like be very melodic in most ways. Like, it was an exercise in energetic music for the most part, trying to find as like as fast of a drummer as I could find, and like, you know, stuff like that. Like, I was you know, slightly energetic 20-something-year-old.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did you grow up in Hamilton?
I did not. So I moved to Hamilton in about 2012 with my wife now. I grew up in Parry Sound, Ontario, mm-hmm. which is up in Muskoka. And I spent some time in London, Ontario. I lived with my now wife in our first apartment was in Mississauga area.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of been all over the Ontario area. But I've definitely like rooted myself pretty deeply here in Hamilton now. I'm not planning on leaving.
Why did you choose Hamilton?
It was a city that originally my first experience with Hamilton was when I went to college in London for art. They brought us to Hamilton to the art gallery here, and I had a fun time in Hamilton, but it was a pretty fast experience. So it wasn't, didn't really get to know too much of the city. And then years later, my wife had lived in Hamilton before I had. So she brought me to an open mic at, the West End, and I fell in love with the city. And have been coming back as much as possible since. And then we just moved here, and, it has its own reputation as a music city, and it definitely lives up to it for sure.
Mm-hmm. I was doing a little bit of research on you beforehand for this interview, and I was watching. I was watching some YouTube videos on your channel, and there's a bunch of you like busking, and I was watching one in 2017 of you busking at Supercrawl. Yeah, loved those Blue Skull overalls, by the way.
Yeah, those are. If I'm pronouncing it properly, it's an actual like a designer. My wife's into fashion, so Kaylee Elsasser or something, I don't know. I'm a pretender when that comes to fashion, but she's responsible for all the cool outfits. I'm just gonna say that now.
She's your stylist.
She just kind of does what she wants, and I let her do it. She used to be a hairdresser. So she's pretty talented in that department.
Right. Awesome.
How
long have you been busking, and when did you start that?
Probably a year before that video in Hamilton. I dabbled now and then in different other cities or whatever, but nothing serious. Just grab a guitar and get on the bus and go downtown for whatever reasons. But the Hamilton art crawl was the first experience I had where I'm gonna do this again, and just like for the pure reason of playing music. Like, it just, that seemed to be what people enjoyed about it, and I had never experienced that before in any other environment. And then of course, like you said, the Supercrawl video and all the places that businesses let me play in front of, and like it was just such a welcoming city when it comes to those festivities, and it's the people themselves are like right into it. Like I've met some pretty cool people just handshakes on the streets and in Supercrawl. Those are some of my favorite memories in Hamilton.
Mm-hmm. That video made me miss Supercrawl so much.
Isn't it brutal?
God,
it's a different time for sure. Mm-hmm. It's unfortunate. Hopefully we can all get it back. I would love to play Supercrawl.
2022, crossing my fingers. So
yeah, let's do it.
Mm-hmm. So why the name Boxcar Ben?
Okay. I get asked this quite often. And it's not because I'm homeless or have been. It comes from working in a drywall warehouse. I used to unload boxcar trains full of a certain kind of drywall, and I was the fastest at it. So eventually they started to call me Boxcar Ben, and it was when I was kind of writing my own solo material music in the very beginning. I was staying around 2016, 2017. I just didn't really care what I called myself. So I just went with that nickname and went out onto the street with a demo CD that I had made. And it's just kind of, that's the rest has been history kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. So you're efficient.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, mm-hmm. for me, like it became a thing where it was kind of a joke where nobody else would touch that job anymore, and it was a dirty job, but mm-hmm. it was something that, you know, you have to pay the bills, right? So
yeah, for sure. I mean, at least it's a positive nickname.
Yeah, and I've moved on from that position, that whole company since then. I just made a decision to move to another job where it actually allotted me more time to make music and perform music as one of my priorities, and that really has contributed to how much I've been able to accomplish since then.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah. So I kind of kept it kind of because it kind of inspired everything. It was like a crappy, like, thing that I tried to turn into something good.
Mm-hmm. No, I think it. I think it's a great name. I think it really reflects your style.
Yeah, I've heard it. It kind of comes with a bit of predisposition, but I kind of like that it keeps people guessing in some ways, and it does kind of suit the music, I think, too.
Mm-hmm. What was your first major release under Boxcar Ben?
The first, like EP that I put out, was like an instrumental album, and, it got some airplay actually on CFMU. But the thing that really started to get me some momentum was a self-released album that I put out in 2019 called Fragments.
Mm-hmm.
I had, someone kind enough to let me set up in their storefront during Supercrawl that year. And, by some miracle, there was a massive storm, big lightning storm. And it just shoved like 200 people inside of the store. And I feel like since then I've been meeting people and they're like, oh yeah, I've heard of you. Even if they haven't heard the music, like there's this kind of like, the name is floating around a little bit, which is not something that I could have planned for, really.
Yeah. Wow.
Again, that's the Supercrawl thing, though. It's like this phenomenon. Like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. Wow. What a great show that would be, eh?
It was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Not going to lie. I was like shaking. So mm-hmm. nervous. But it was like the album release. And yeah, I think since then it's really opened the doors and got me a lot of gigs and stuff like that around the city. So I've been pretty happy
mm-hmm.
with that release in particular.
Following that first major release under your new moniker, how was the reception from like friends and family?
Pretty good. Yeah. Like most of my family is pretty supportive. I think like, I would say honestly, like COVID has kind of put a magnifying glass on everything almost. And I think since 2019 to see the development of 2020 and now being where we are in 2021, it's, I'm kind of excited to see like where all of this like online support is going to go to, because it's grown. It's definitely been something I've been able to see an increase in inactivity and yeah, like it's pretty cool. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. I think artists and, you know, listeners alike are all sort of finding new ways to interact with one another now that, you know, everything's online and everything's virtual. And I think, you know, there are downsides, but I think the whole industry is changing. So it's interesting to see where that's going to go.
Yeah, there's a lot of different directions it's going right now. It's interesting for sure.
Mm-hmm. So I saw that in 2019, you were a part of a fundraising show with Dirty Rick and some others for the Lost organization. Do you consider yourself a mental health advocate?
I didn't at that point, but it is something that I feel very strongly about. I don't really consider myself to be an advocate of any kind, because it's a pretty like direct assumption that you're making, that you have a right to speak about certain things. And I'm not educated in mental health in any way, in a formal way. But it's something that I've always had a very strong interest in. And I think the more that someone walks down a path of like self-care and mental health is something that you just tend to learn more about as you go. And yeah, like meeting Dirty Rick and those guys, that was a fork in the road for me. Those guys are amazing. Mm-hmm. And then to represent some kind of a a fight like that is fantastic. And I'm all for mental health advocacy for sure.
Mm-hmm. How did that show go? How was the turnout?
It was good. Yeah, it was a pretty decent night. And like the court town just sounds so great. Mm-hmm. Like it was a pretty good night. I think I can't remember the figure exactly, but they did end up raising a few hundred dollars for one of the I think it was a suicide prevention facility. I can't remember the name of it. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, that sounds fantastic.
Yeah.
Were you aware of the Lost organization before this fundraiser?
No, I was also introduced to that as well. Mm-hmm. Preceding the show. It's great. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Any resources we can get for people in the Hamilton area is great. It's definitely a very underfunded region of society right now. And we need to pull together in areas where we can.
Mm-hmm. Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
So we're going to hit pause on this conversation for a quick second.
And yeah, actually,
yeah, and we're going to play a recent single from Ben here. The track Out of Luck was released in 2020 by Ben, and this is a single about failing to show up for your partner.
Thank you.
for anyone just joining us, this is Hot Shots on Air, and tonight I'm speaking with Boxcar Ben, a folk-slash-blues rock musician based in Hamilton. So, Ben, I've noticed that you've played with a ton of local acts around the city, like Dirty Rick, Another Crush, Frantic Lullabies, like, et cetera, et cetera. Who are some major players in the Hamilton music scene that you think should be talked about more?
Right now? I think, If you're not aware of people like the Ruddy Ruckus mm-hmm. or LT the Monk, mm-hmm. I would say like K Triggs is pretty crazy.
Mm-hmm. That's very yeah. funny that you mentioned those people. I talked to K Triggs on the first episode of this radio show, and then Lisa LaRocca, who was LT's manager, on the second. So
yeah,
there we go.
I'm watching. Those mm-hmm. guys are doing things. It's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, like it's such a hard time for bands right now, right? Like I'm only able to continue on with the streaming, the live streaming and the stuff like that because I'm just by myself, and like the amount of like bands that I'm waiting to see what they're going to do soon is like I feel so bad for people that can't get together and just make music. I feel like it's one of the biggest travesties of this year, maybe. Like,
I know it's everybody has just been, all of their lives have been demolished by this.
Yeah.
It's the entire industry is like on hold. It's really rough. Can you think of any gigs that you've played in the past that are really stand out for you?
That Corktown gig was a big one for me. Oh man, any of the charity gigs that I've played have really been important to me. I really have a fun time at the Doors because I feel like the Doors Pub is sort of like, it's not actually a show. It's more just like this like hangout or a party or something. Like it's so informal there, and like you're doing your own sound kind of thing. I kind of like the grungy, dirty bars. It's for their own personal charms. But of course any stage I can get on, honestly, I've had an amazing time playing places that aren't there anymore, or like the Casbah, the St. Hollywood, Corktown, Doors Pub, anywhere I can play, to be honest, is amazing. We definitely need to like support these venues like now. Because they're really struggling.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I think Casbah has a really fund you could donate to. I'm not sure if there's other ones.
Yeah. Related to that, you're someone who's played basically every venue available in Hamilton, like a million times over. Do you have a favorite? Why is that your favorite? And then what makes these like small indie Hamilton venues so unique?
I think you said it. It's small and it's intimate, and it's Hamilton has this sort of character to itself, and anybody that's cool enough to open a music venue is like is cool people in my book. I don't know. This ain't Hollywood. The stage itself was a huge like notch in my belt for me. I really wanted to play there when I moved to this city because it just was where all my favorite bands had played. I went to a bunch of shows there. Like when I got up there, I was pretty happy. I would say that's a pretty standout show for me. Even recently, like the world being an online world, I've been blessed enough to be offered some online gigs. I did one for the Hamilton Arts Council in 2020 for the Hamilton Arts Artist Relief Fund,
mm-hmm.
Which was I think it was a 40-minute set or something like that. Like it was a pretty good show, pretty lengthy one, which was broadcast online, kind of pre-recorded. And then most recently is the Music Mondays that I'm doing for the city of Hamilton, which is a little shorter, like it's about an 8-minute set. But it's, stuff like that keeps artists hoping, I think. Like, it really, really divides up the monotony of not being able to do any of this performing.
Mm-hmm. Were you reached out to about the Artist Relief Fund performance, or did you apply to be a part of that?
That one, I believe I was, they reached out to me on that one.
Mm-hmm. Well, that must feel special. That's awesome.
They're very supportive. Mm-hmm. And I don't know who's there that's like constantly putting my name in the hat, but I love them for it. Yeah, no, they're really cool. And I think they recently just teamed up with somebody, and it's going to be pretty exciting to see where this is going as like an online hub.
Oh yeah, for sure. Definitely. What do you think is so special about Hamilton's music and arts community?
I haven't been able to put my finger on it yet. Mm-hmm. Honestly, it's just there. It's very real. And I think it's because the city has a lot of everything. To me, art reflects life. I think that's been said before. It's a true writer, a poet, or an artist, or a painter, a musician is somebody that pursues life itself. And I think there's a lot of people in Hamilton that are just like fully living, like they're whatever they feel they want to live, that's they're living their true path. And it comes in like so many different forms and colors and you know, wealth statuses and races and genders. It's a very boiling mixing pot. I love Hamilton for that. I think it's what influences its art scene.
I also noticed that your music is on Hamontify, which I love. I think that's such a smart and unique idea. Were you approached, or did you reach out to the streaming service yourself?
I think I might have reached out on that one. Mm-hmm. I can't remember. Either way, they were super nice about it. They're very, very supportive for Hamilton artists as well.
For anyone who doesn't know, Hamontify is like a Hamilton artist-only streaming service. You know, you can look up the website. It's pretty cool. I think it's really interesting and unique to build that, especially during COVID.
Yeah, I think every city should have one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's a cool idea for sure.
I know. What's a dream goal of yours as an artist?
Okay. I think a big one for me would be to record something that I felt like I could press onto vinyl. Not that I don't love the releases I've put out, but it's just something that, I'd like to work towards is like having like a really good, solid sounding record to put out.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a big one for me.
Yeah. What are some of the favorite tracks that you've released personally?
I really love playing most of the more upbeat songs. I know like some people kind of lean into different aspects of my music because it tends to be a bit contrasting. I have some like lighter songs and some harder songs and stuff like that. But I really like whatever it is to be kind of like upbeat. So it's kind of like more fun for me to play. And that I feel like always translates to the listener better.
If you were to have a dream collaborator, maybe within Hamilton and then beyond Hamilton, who would that be?
Oh man. I mean, like my like all time dream is probably somebody who's not even alive anymore. but in Hamilton, I'm seriously like curious about this LT guy. He is really entertaining. I love his stuff. Yeah. I think it's strange for me to want to even approach anyone in the hip hop industry, but like if something weird like that was to cross paths, I think that's always fun when music like doesn't make sense, but it does.
Oh, totally. I mean, you know, he's experimental himself. He has this, you know, 3-piece jazz band behind him. So
yeah.
I'm sure he'd totally be open to collaborating.
We've had a few like little like messages back and forth and stuff here and there. So we know about each other, but mm-hmm. like, I don't know if he'd even be down for something like that, but I think he's a cool dude anyway.
Oh, for sure. With the music industry and COVID-19 right now, what do you see changing about the future of this industry that you're working inside of? Whether it's, you know, next year or the next 5 years, what do you think are some of the major shifts that we're going to see happening?
I hope that I feel like the online community is everybody's kind of getting a little bit stale with it. Just in the sense that, not that anyone's efforts are unwarranted or anything, but it just feels like, I think everybody is like ready for real live music. And, if we can get control over this situation with the virus, I think that undoubtedly people will want to go back to live music situations. But I think maybe an online option would be something that we could do to be a in a safer direction for people that don't feel comfortable going to crowded shows. I think, to me, the most important thing that we can move back into is to move back into live music, hopefully.
How have you been changing your online presence because of COVID?
I think the biggest thing that I've tried to focus my energy on is to bring a positive perspective. Because it's something that I think not only like that my followers are probably appreciative of, but like I feel a lot more like myself moving in that direction. And I think it's something that, it's good to do. Like, I think it's good to put positivity into the world and to try and, build a better future.
And what do you feel as though you've gained from this time during COVID?
I think like a lot of artists, I've had a lot more time to come up with new ideas. Because of the social distancing and stuff like that, my artistic pursuits have become a lot more isolated. But it gives you new avenues to be creative. And I think, yeah, like a lot more time to write new music. I've got a lot of new stuff that I've been working on that I'm going to start putting down and recording and getting ready to release, kind of thing.
What would you like to see change within the Hamilton arts community?
I think that the focus, in a financial sense could be a little broader. I think that Hamilton really honestly moves in great directions in the creative communities. We do a lot of things that no other cities do. And, I think that's like a great place to be. But it shouldn't stop us from pursuing even more and better ideas. And, hopefully like working together with, the City Works and things like that, like the Hamilton City music, section is really like, an important part of the City Works, I think.
Where are some places in like the Hamilton, Toronto area that you'd love to play at?
Anywhere that opens back up once this pandemic's over.
Yeah.
I'd really love to play Mills Hardware. I've seen a ton of shows there. I actually haven't played Absinthe yet, which is strange to me because it's like I've played heavy music in a lot of bars that shouldn't be playing heavy music, but, anywhere really that has a stage in Hamilton. The church with the stage, I can't think of the name of it, on Main Street.
I can't either.
Oh my God. It's such an amazing venue too. Like Toronto, there's a ton of stages as long as they open back up. I've always wanted to place places like the Horseshoe or Lee's Palace, anywhere like that. Like, even like I don't even care. I'll play coffee houses again. Like I'm down to just go busking. Like, let's do this.
Mm-hmm. Do you think you'll do that as soon as restrictions lift? Do you think you're going to head to the street and start busking?
I know a couple of bands that are already doing it, and I'm like, you guys are brave.
Yeah, man.
I'm just a little bit nervous, and I want to watch and see how things go. And for sure, when it's definitely like okay and safe to do so, and I'm not going to get myself in any kind of legal issues, I would love to just take my guitar down to Bayfront and rip it.
Mm-hmm. What's the first freedom that you're going to enjoy once the lockdown lifts?
I'd really like to eat in a restaurant again. Mm-hmm. Have somebody else cook me a meal. That'd be amazing. and live music. I think that's the big one that I'm waiting for.
Oh, me too. Everyone around here.
Yeah. Hopefully, I think it's optimistic to think that street festivals and things like that will be coming back right away. But mm-hmm. I think we can kind of hold out hope that we'll slowly get ourselves back to pace and start to see some big stuff happening like it is down south.
I think we're going to see all the same sort of stuff in 2021, but I'm really hoping that things are going to change by 2022. So
yeah,
very hopeful for that. So you've been changing your image up a lot recently. What's the inspiration behind that?
Okay. Well, like, it's kind of an ongoing, I don't know, I don't want to say issue with me, but the culprit behind most of my my look is actually my partner Michelle. She's the eye for fashion, and she ends up dyeing my hair all different colors and things and haircuts and different directions. And I just kind of am an easygoing personality, so I just go along with it and tend to not really have much of a filter of like embarrassment. So I'll just go for an extreme version of whatever and yeah, just try things out. And sometimes it works, and I think sometimes it's a little weird, and it's okay.
Mm-hmm. What's been your favorite look so far, and then what's been your least favorite?
I really enjoyed, I had sort of like an ice blue hair slice thing going on for a while. That was fun. The mustache seems to come back every so often. I think the most continuous thing about my image is probably like the influences from grunge and stuff like that. Yeah, it's just sort of what I grew up with, and I think it's still cool. I don't know.
No, I think it's definitely a very recognizable style, and I think that that's important with artists and with musicians alike.
Yeah, I think standing out has actually been something that I'm both like intentionally aware of and kind of oblivious about at the same time. My voice tends to be pretty projective when I'm playing live, and a lot of environments that I was playing live with, I think that turned a lot of people's ears onto what I was doing sonically. And then they, you know, if you're on stage wearing like crazy ripped up jeans and a dress shirt, your hair's all over the place, it's kind of visual too, I guess.
Oh, definitely. Definitely makes for a better performance.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, one of your singles that you released back in 2020, Tiny Stone, is actually how I found you, through that single, which I like a lot. And, I was wondering what the story behind that is.
Oh, thanks. It's, that song is, part of like a running theme for me, which is actually partly what inspired me to go busking, and start recording Boxcar Ben and, pursuing music was, the winter of 2017, I lost a close friend of mine, who died at a party. The impact that made on my creative life was very severe, as well as my personal life. And Tiny Stone kind of it is burst out of that. It was sort of a perspective of my friend's parent, and how in the chorus it's basically sort of a nod to his gravestone. And then I sort of sew my musical topics together with bits and pieces of my real life, as a way of like kind of contorting a story into a sort of a more, I would say interpretable thing, if that's a word. I think that it's important for people to take what they need from the music, and, stuff like loss and, you know, childhood pain, things like that are what I tried to put into that song. And it, because it's such a melodic song, I think people gravitated to it easier than some of my more aggressive music. It was kind of one of those songs that I just felt the need to put out and get out of me. And it turned out pretty good, I think.
Well, it's definitely one of my favorites, so I believe it totally did. And yeah, thank you. I'm so sorry for your loss, and thank you for sharing that with me. How was the reception once you released Tiny Stone?
Really good, yeah. That was just after the Fragments release. So in 2019, I released Fragments in about September, Supercrawl, yeah. And then the Tiny Stone release came in the springtime, I think. And it was sort of still using that artistic framework from the last album with the cover art and the graphics and things like that. But it was, I think, the beginning of a turn in a different direction a little bit.
Mm-hmm. In a different direction stylistically or with your songwriting?
Songwriting and I don't know, probably I would say like lyrically in a sense that it's like a pretty raw topic and honest topic. Mm-hmm. And whereas some of my lyrics tend to be a little more fantasy based.
Definitely. Do you think that helped your audience connect to you and your music more?
Definitely. And I don't think I realized it at the time, to be honest. But the more that I play those types of songs, the more people gravitate towards the music. And I think that that's kind of the purpose of music and performers and songwriters and audiences, is that we connect on human stuff.
Mm-hmm. Why did you choose music to create as opposed to visual art, fashion, I don't know, any sort of other arts? What drew you to music itself?
Failure. No. I growing up in a really small town up north, I wanted to play music, but there was no like school for rock stars. So I did the next best thing. I signed up for fine arts in Fanshawe in London, and I got myself as far away from my family as I could, because I was 18 and that was the goal at the time.
Exactly.
And I just, you know what, the professional arts community, kudos to anybody who's in it. It's an amazing world. It wasn't for me. And it just, music has always kind of been just playing there in the background, in the back of my mind, as the thing that I needed to do with my life. And, yeah, I love art. I love to, actually, that's one of the things I've been doing during COVID again, was, I picked up my paintbrushes again and started doing some watercolor paintings just as like a therapy. And, it's visual art is still very, very important to me. Like I love to make music videos. Like I do all that myself. And, a lot of the graphic design work is me. But the music is the main focus of my creative output.
Mm-hmm. How was your time at Fanshawe?
It was fun. Yeah. I made a lot of friends. I had probably too much fun. Mm-hmm. And that's probably why I didn't really make it through.
Right. Did you find that it helped with your career and with like pursuing art?
It probably could have. You can make a lot of connections through that field in the arts community. But like I said, my focus was always, I was actually in bands while I was going to art school and stuff like that, and not doing my art homework because I was busy jamming in my basement apartment.
Right, right. Did you have a lot of support personally as someone getting into music professionally?
As far as like family support?
Mm-hmm. Family or peer support, friend support, that sort of thing. Or did you have a lot of, you know, pushback as a lot of people do?
Yeah, I think like everybody, in the beginning, it's kind of just like, you know, oh, you're never going to be a musician. There's a thing, a lot of mean things that people say to anybody who's trying to do something of in any field. But you know, 15, 20 years later, it's just not going away. And then I think people see how much you put into it and how much you love what you're doing. And they can hear that translate in the songs that you perform. And eventually any doubting just gets so like overwhelmed by all of the positive, support. And I think that that's like a really key thing to learn as a musician, as you're coming up, is that you just don't even need to focus on anything bad. Like, don't listen to people's criticisms. You're going to hear with your own ear, and it will develop over time.
Mm-hmm. What advice would you give to, musicians just starting out or looking to get into the industry?
If you want to be in the music industry, you better love making music. Mm-hmm. Because it is an industry. It's like everything else. It can be actually pretty hard and a lot of work. And if you don't like what you're doing, you're not going to like it, and it'll probably be discouraging. I think the main thing that like a lot of kids have is passion. But I think that they get discouraged when it doesn't really like pay out right away, or you know, they're not necessarily where they think they should be at a certain point. And I think that the persistence of just like letting yourself fall down on your face and then pulling yourself back up is a really big one. And just being as in love and as good at your musical craft as you can be.
What are some future projects that you're working on and that we can look forward to?
The newest single that I'm going to be releasing, hopefully by midsummer, is going to be called Mr. Mirror. It's a song that I've been kind of working on during COVID, and it's sort of like a self introspective kind of identifying problems and, you know, finding hope at the end of the tunnel kind of situations. I try to release stuff that I feel like is relatable and, you know, something personal, I think is probably the easiest thing for most people to latch on, whether or not I meant for it to be in certain ways or not. But, yeah, that song is, under works right now, and it should be done by the middle of the summer. And then I'm hoping, to have a few more to release by the fall.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you usually try to sort of implement, good messages, if I could say it like that, in your music? Is there a sort of thread with, the themes in the art that you create?
I mean, I think in some of it there is, for sure. I wouldn't say that I'm an overly pessimistic writer in a lot of ways. Like, I think hope is something that I try to put in a lot of my art. But I don't think focusing solely on the positive is necessarily the whole picture. So I do kind of like to lean into the darker areas of life and use those things in ways to kind of tie things all together in a more rounded sort of perspective.
All right. Well, thank you so much for jumping on here and talking with me today. This was a lot of fun, and I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. This is an amazing experience.
Yeah, of course, anytime. You guys can find Boxcar Ben at Boxcar Ben on basically everything. Go stream him on all socials, all streaming services, and then you can find him on Himantify as well. And then, you know, Instagram, Facebook, whatever. He's on everything. So just to wrap everything up, I've got another recent Boxcar Ben single for you. We talked about it earlier in the show. So he dropped this very, like, Bon Iver-ish single. I would like to describe it as that, called Tiny Stone, back in 2020, and it's a song about the loss of a close friend of his.
Hey guys, this is Boxcar Ben. You're listening to Hot Shots on Air on 101.5 The Hawk.
Thought you'd